Coming to you from 6 feet under Toledo, Ohio, it's the 222 Paranormal Podcast starring your host, Jen Shortridge, and her brother, Joe Shortridge.
Hello.
Hello. What's going on, my brother?
Oh, another busy, busy week. Getting tons of stuff done. Working on our Bigfoot and Paranormal show. We'll talk about that at the end of the show.
All right. That's cool. But what's going on, Joey? It's getting warmer out, and you know what that means.
Yeah, the palm trees are outside.
It means weird tales from Florida. Oh,
okay. What do you got there?
We haven't done a Florida story in a while, so
yeah.
Here we go. Ready for this one?
No. Did you get this in the mail?
You've got mail.
I did. All right. Stand by. Here we go.
All right.
Speedo wearing man flags down deputies to show off his pot plant.
Okay.
Flagler County deputies were surprised by a Speedo wearing man from Florida who wanted to show off his marijuana plant to them. 65-year-old Arthur something or other, I can't pronounce that, who was smoking weed at the time.
Well, of course.
Approached deputies who were responding to an unrelated call. The Florida man wanted to show off his 2-foot-tall marijuana plant he was growing on his property while wearing a Speedo.
That's awesome.
As the weather gets warmer, the clothes start falling off. Speaking of falling off, this show is about falling off the rails, but it's going to get better.
I did notice that you sent me something on Facebook about...
Yes, a jean Speedo.
Jean Speedos, huh?
A Jito.
I will not be wearing that.
Please don't. I would have to.
Unless we get 222 printed on them.
Not going to happen, Joe. Sorry about your luck, but it's never
come
gonna...
to a show and
no.
See.
Don't do it. Speaking of shows.
Today's show is awesome.
We were at a convention show in Toledo, Ohio, not too long ago.
Mm-hmm, a few weeks ago.
And we ran into one of the fabulous guest speakers who we love and thought was amazing. And we said, dude, you're doing our show and you don't have a choice.
I know. It was so funny. No, we're like, just kidding. Dude.
Be on our show.
And then he said, bro.
And I said, be on our show.
He came over and just started talking.
He's amazing. That's what we love. People come and talk, right?
Well, yeah, that's what it helps because we're a podcast, not a video cast. So they can't see the people. So they have to talk.
Thank God, because I'm feeling real chunky right now. And I just don't want anybody to see me.
Have you put up
no
the treadmill?
The pink treadmill is still in the box. Now, I did rearrange the bedroom to make room for it. But it's not out of the box yet.
Oh.
But my bathroom's finished, so the bathroom is completely remodeled.
Shortridge Construction.
Yeah, Shortridge Services at your service. But yeah, so, you know, just
so today's show is brought to you by Will Shortridge Construction, and I don't have his...
It's Shortridge Services out of Grand Rapids, Ohio.
Look him up on Facebook, because I don't have it listed here.
Yeah, he's my brother.
All I do is hit... I don't even know his phone number. I just hit his name. You notice that?
Yeah.
Nowadays, if you ask someone, what's their phone number?
You don't know.
Don't know.
You just know their name. Pretty soon, you'll just look at a photo.
Yeah.
And you'll think about it in your head.
Yes.
And then it'll happen.
They'll go, I'm sorry, I can't come in your head right now. But if you leave a message.
Yeah, exactly.
So, Jeff Belanger, he is an author, a public speaker, a paranormal investigator. He has served as the host of the New England's Legends podcast, which I did listen to.
Yeah, it was really fun and exciting, and I love it.
I listened to the tap dancing ghost of Green Mountain Inn.
Like
hilarious.
Yes.
Hilarious.
So good.
But he's most known for his work on the TV show Ghost Adventures.
Yes, he is the writer of Ghost Adventures, which is really, you know, it's funny. We didn't even ask him about that, right? Like, we had so much to talk about because he's such an interesting person.
As you hear in the interview, the thing is, as you hear in the interview, we just talked. It was awesome.
Yeah, you know, like, he's multifaceted, right? So he's podcasts, he's an author, he's a researcher, he's a historian, he's a writer. Everything. He's amazing. But, you know, he's multi-talented, right?
Yeah.
And just in general, a really nice person and funny. He knows how to take a picture, that's for sure.
When we were leaving at the end of the night, I walked up to him and I'm like, hey, man, it was really nice to meet me. And he's like, yes, it was.
He's cool. But no, like, guys, you got to listen to this interview. It's really amazing. And we'll catch up with you afterwards.
All
right. Enjoy the interview and we'll talk to you on the other side.
Whoa. Next with the traffic, we've got some backed up traffic here on Main Street, but it's looking good in the weather department. Let's go to sports.
He's looking at you,
Jen. I don't know sports.
Oh. Okay, this was good.
Shopping is my sport. Anyways.
So what are we doing?
I don't know.
We're just going to free float. We're going to do rabbit holes and just... We're going to freestyle.
Okay.
Freestyle.
Sorry. We go off in tangents.
We haven't even been off it.
Yeah. Haven't even started.
Started somewhere to be on a tangent.
All right, Joe. Lead us in.
All right.
Let it rip.
All right. And with us right now, we have a surprise guest.
So excited.
Surprise guest in the house, Jeff Belanger.
Hi.
Real applause for that.
Thank
Real
you.
Applause. Yes. So, Jeff, you know, we have seen you at many, many, many conferences from afar, and we were starstruck.
Admiring from afar.
And admiring, like, if we could only get him on our show.
Well, I know, and little did you know, all you had to do was ask.
Well, yeah. Joe and I are introverts, so we, like, literally hide behind the table all day because we were like, we can't talk to people. We just
introverts should definitely be in media. That's a good move.
Yeah, I know.
That's a good idea.
Hide behind the microphone.
Come be on our show, but you have to... think about it. We can't ask because we're...
It's really hard for us. And I don't know why it is because, like, you know, I'm chatty sometimes.
Does anyone ever say no?
Yes.
Ooh.
We had a couple people say no.
Who's big-timed you? What are their names rhyme with?
Who dissed you at Michigan Paracon, Jen?
I can't say because I think you know him.
Of course I do. But so what?
Knows everybody.
It's opposite of T.
What?
The opposite.
Huh. Oh, I got it.
Oh.
Wow, you got big times, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, he pushed my shoulder and walked past me.
Mm.
I was heartbroken because I was starstruck.
Wow.
I admired him from afar.
Sometimes it's best not to meet our heroes.
But I still love him and still follow him on Twitter.
And we talked to him a few weeks ago, or a week ago, actually. We're in... Mansfield Penitentiary.
Yeah, well, you talked to him. I didn't.
He's strangely comfortable in jail.
Yes.
Isn't that weird?
It is weird.
Yeah.
It is. Speaking of weird.
When we were in Michigan Paracon, I'll share this story with you.
Yes.
Our listeners heard it, but we're sitting there at Michigan Paracon. Our table's here. Stanton Freeman.
Yeah.
Right across from us.
Right.
I'm like, oh, my God, there's Stanton Freeman. Got to get him on the show. Well, the next morning, we're down having breakfast, and he comes up to me and says, where's the coffee at? He thought I worked there.
I'm wow. Like,
Stanton Freeman's here. And then,
did you find the coffee?
I said, it's over there.
Don't bury the lead. I mean, that event, I remember when Stanton was there. I've been there most of the years.
Mm-hmm.
And when I was growing up, if you've ever watched a UFO show, you weren't allowed to make a UFO show without Stanton Freeman being in it. I think it's a contract thing.
Yeah.
And so I was like, oh, my gosh, this guy's here. And that was mainly a ghost crowd, to be fair and honest. And I was like, there are not enough people here that you're not nearly impressed enough that Stanton Friedman's here. This guy's a legend.
Yeah.
Like, this guy is
a living legend, right?
He is, like, what we know about so much in ufology is because of Stanton Friedman. And I realized, well, part of it is, you know, he's not on TV as much as he used to be. And we live in a culture where people look at the people on TV as the leading experts.
Yeah.
And that's not necessarily true in tons of cases, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it's guys like that who are behind the scenes writing books, doing the research for longer than some of us have been alive.
Yeah.
Right.
That we know as much as we do. And so we just live in a different time now where you know. Oh.
Okay.
Oh.
This is great.
Yeah, money time.
How much? Oh, Jennifer, 222.
So we're getting settling a bill right now. No, don't edit. Leave this in. This is real.
Yeah.
What did they have for lunch? Chicken salad.
Chicken salad, which was awesome.
And chips. And so
which
now
we still have chips.
And now you have to pay for it. Nothing's
right,
free.
And the rest is for you. Thank you so much.
I hope you gave her more than a quarter.
I did.
Okay.
Now she feels bad about spitting in it.
Yeah.
I'm kidding. You did. Never. Never. But there was that one guy that one time.
Yeah. That we all Jeff have a story. Guy.
Do you ever fill the drinks so high that you know it's going to spill on them because they're jerks? I've done that. No, that's aggressive. No, I when I was in college, I worked at a yacht club. But like a yacht club that would, I mean, New Rochelle, New York. This was like crazy money, right? And so I was like, I was open bar at weddings and functions and stuff. And some people were just obnoxious, horrible people. And so we learned if you fill the drink like to the top where then you can't sip it without it spilling. And so I'd be like, oh, I really wanted to make sure you get your money's worth.
Yeah.
Jerk. Yeah.
Yeah.
There you go. You're welcome.
There was a show or a movie called Waiting, and one of the parts in that was the girl was so nice out, but once she crossed that line in the kitchen, every F-bomb came out that she could think of.
Yeah.
That's great. So, Jeff, for our listeners, can you give them a little bit of your background? That's all right. He's munching.
I'm finishing this mint.
It's minty fresh.
Yeah, I tried to pull away from the mic. Maybe you won't pick it up.
That's fine. We'll edit.
Okay.
So anyways, can you give our listeners a little bit of background of you know, how you got into being in the field of writing, researching, and doing what you do?
Well, I grew up in New England, mm-hmm. and I was born and raised there, and I had friends that had haunted houses when I was a kid, and I was just intrigued by that. I first met Ed and Lorraine Warren when I was like 10 or 11 years old, because they lived in the next town from where I lived. And I thought they were really interesting, and I saw their programs, and my friends, you know, would have sleepovers at the haunted houses and stuff, and I was just intrigued. And then I went to school. I wanted to be a writer. I knew that.
Okay.
But it was just this subject that I kept calling me back, and it was I was a features guy, and around October, you go looking for ghost stories.
Okay. Yes.
Happens at every publication, every radio, every, like, news program, right? You're like, oh, let's go look for the haunted house story. It's October.
Right.
That was me. And it just turned into a website called Ghost Village back in 1999. It's still going.
Wow.
20 years.
That's incredible.
I know. And then I started writing books. And then I started working in television. And now I write the show Ghost Adventures. And I've written 15 books. And I know. And
my face just dropped. I'm like, 15? That's incredible.
And so it's...
That's awesome.
I'm blessed to be able to do this for a living. And I do lots of programs and lectures and stuff. And I do a weekly podcast myself, stories.
Fellow podcasters.
New England Legends, yeah.
Check them out.
Yeah.
New England Joe's Legends. Got his car.
Yep. Yeah. It's just, which is
now,
very different. It's just
do
stories.
Do I have to put the cassette in the
thing? Yeah. And if it's, you have a pencil, you know how to like tighten it up so you can get the slack out.
I'm explaining that because his card is a cassette.
Yeah.
People don't.
Which is awesome.
Yeah. These millennials now, they don't even know what a cassette is.
When I give it to someone under 30, I'm like, it's an iPod.
Yeah.
They're like, huh?
Okay, got it.
Oh. Yeah. Oh, man. Mixed tapes, right?
Yeah.
Heck yeah.
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah. So those were the days.
Those were the days. I still have some of my mates.
I get it. Yeah. So I love the subject. I totally love this, and I love everything about it, because I feel like so many great subjects intersect in what we would call the paranormal. So there's religion and spirituality. There's psychology. There's history. There's folklore. There's, you know, some science, although I don't think a whole lot, but like just so many different facets of the human experience come together in this place we call the paranormal.
Yeah.
And it allows us to talk about like the biggest questions humans have ever asked, right? Are we alone in the universe? Do we know what happens after we die? Do we know every creature that walks the earth with us? Mm-hmm. We get to ask those questions that humans have asked for thousands upon thousands of years, and ask it in a sort of safe way. Because if we start talking about specific religions, like if I were to say, like, well, here's my religious beliefs, I'm a fundamentalist, blah, 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 you'd just start to squirm because you're like, oh, yeah, I don't want to hear this. You know, like, what's the chances we're going to agree, you know, on everything? We can go to the same church week after week and still not agree on everything.
Exactly.
And so with this, you can say, well, if you're skeptical, take it as just a story because there's still something in there for you. If you've had your own experiences, you're a believer, then it sort of validates some things that you've gone through and allows you to kind of ponder what lies ahead for you. You know, it's a great topic.
And there's so many questions that become, they you go into something, and next thing you know, you got 10 more questions going, okay, yeah. I got to follow this route.
If you're doing it right, that's what happens.
Yeah.
Right? If you're doing it wrong, you're like, found my answer, I'm done.
Yeah.
Really? How did you do that? Right?
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
So when you're writing, do you have like a certain area or space, or do you just write wherever you wherever it comes to you, or what's your process for writing?
So, I mean, it depends what I'm working on. Ghost Adventures is very deadline driven. Mm-hmm. So we've got... we're typically filming 2 episodes per month at least, sometimes more, but at minimum 2 episodes a month.
Okay.
And so once we know where we're going, I take over on like getting all the research I can, letting them know the history, the backstory, witness accounts, stuff like that, so that they're as well-armed as they can be before they arrive. Mm-hmm. And so I can't back that process up. So sometimes it's very intense.
Yeah.
And while it sounds good, you know, for writers, I'm like, oh yeah, you want some Earl Grey tea and light a little candle and have this peaceful music. I'm like, well, I don't live in that world.
Yeah.
Right,
I've got a kid and like honking horns outside and like, you know, like pets that demand your attention, you know, and so that's where I live. So sometimes it's just shut up and plow through it.
Yeah.
And I think I was talking to someone else here who was a writer as well earlier. Do you have children? Do you guys have?
No.
Well, so I've got
I have palm trees.
You have
too.
Palm trees. Yeah. That's like kids, except not. But so when you have a newborn baby, they tell you just be normal around the baby. So for example, if the baby's napping, just vacuum the rug. It's okay, right? Because they'll get used to this is normal noise. I can sleep through it. If you make it quiet like a museum, that's what the baby will expect.
Yeah.
And that's just not the real world.
Right.
And so I think it's the same with writing. Like if you're a creative person, like you have to do that thing you do no matter what the distractions are. I mean, sure, in a perfect world, you know, you've got a separate room that no one's allowed to go in and they leave you alone for 8 straight
that's
hours.
Hollywood bull.
And there's a window right next to you so you can see the birds.
Yeah.
And the...
But like, I don't have that much money or like staff or anything. Like, right. It's just me. So, so you learn to work with what you have.
Mm-hmm.
And that's life. We all have 24 hours a day to work with. We all have demands of us. We have to pay our bills and eat and, you know, meet with people and do things. And we still have to like, do that thing for our soul that makes us feel whole. That thing that, you know, I know for me, I need to make something. When I was in high school, I had a business laying bricks for sidewalks.
Okay.
I loved it.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I loved it because when it was over, I'm like, I built that.
Yeah.
It'll be here for years and years. Yeah. Like, look at that, man. People are going to walk on it. It looks nice. It's solid. It's this thing that's perfectly straight and designed. And I realized, like, whatever I do in life, I need to make something. And so making books, making podcasts, making TV shows, like, I've got something to show for my time.
Mm-hmm.
And I know about myself. I need that. I need to be able to do that or I won't feel like a whole person.
Yeah, it's like you putting your imprint on history.
Yeah. Well, or at least taking my own pictures.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, and that's how I kind of view myself, especially with legends and lore, right? Because all we can do is say, this is where it's at right now. And it's here for some reason. That's what I love, right? So a place is haunted, not because I say so or you say so. It's a collective group decision.
Yeah.
Right? This is a community saying it's haunted. You don't have to believe in ghosts. Whatever, it doesn't matter. But the community says, like, that building's haunted. This one, I've never heard anything about it. Wow. I mean, that's so profound to me.
Mm-hmm.
I live in New England. We've got buildings 200 years old, 300 years old. The kid at the end of my street growing up, right? I mean, that house was built in like 1760.
Wow.
Predated the America.
Yeah.
Right? Like, and you'd go down the street and you're like, this house has seen everything. The Revolutionary War, like the Civil War, electricity, light, you know, indoor plumbing. It's seen all that. And that's just incredible. And so these houses, and yet you can go down some of our main streets. They're all the same age. They're all built around the same time. That one's haunted out the wazoo.
Yeah.
People talk about it endlessly. And the one right next door, not. So it's not like the rule is it just has to be old.
Right.
For some reason, some do and some don't. And that, to me, is just really worth asking more questions.
Oh, know? Yeah.
Completely.
Yeah.
So have you had, when you're on location and, you know, you're part of the writing process and part of the show process, have you had personal paranormal experiences?
Yeah.
Does it happen a lot, like often?
No, I could count on probably a little more than one hand at this point, but how often something happens. I don't consider myself psychic, although I'm sure, we all have our own intuition and stuff like that, but I don't I wouldn't say psychic is a label that I would ever be comfortable with. But I've been a few times in places where, you know, boy, I just can't explain it with any other word. I mean, I remember being in Waverly Hills in Louisville, Kentucky, which is just crazy. And we walked in. It was my very first time there. I've been there a couple times now. And I remember walking in and going, whoa, this feels haunted. And I don't usually feel that. I mean, I've been in castles and old buildings and battlegrounds and cemeteries. And you're like, okay, it's a place. That time, it felt like, you know, like when you're being watched, that feeling?
Yeah.
But it felt like a crowd. Wow. It felt like there's people everywhere. Wow. It didn't feel like
that's
one
incredible.
Thing. Like, look at it. It felt like where, I mean, it just felt like I was in a mob. Like if you're walking into like a football game at a stadium, you know, or you're just like people everywhere. And that night, later in the night, we were on the third floor, and people who don't know Waverly, the wings bend like a bat wing.
Yeah.
And you can, if you stand right at the bend, you can see all the way down one hall, and you can see all the way down to the middle of the building. And there were four of us standing there just, it's one in the morning, it's late, and we just chatting about whatever. We stopped talking at the same time. And I said, did you just see that? And I said, you mean the man that just stepped out of the door, like four doors down on the left? And we just went, uh-huh. And so we raced to that door because we thought we were alone up there.
Yeah.
And our first thought is not ghosts. The first thought who the hell is up here with us? And we run to that door, and there's no windows in Waverly. They're all gone. It's all open to the elements. And we're looking everywhere, and we race from, 20 feet, which is not far. I mean, it's just 20 feet. And we're looking everywhere, and there's no one in there. And then you realize if it was a living person, the two options were to avoid us, jump out the third story window.
Yeah.
We would have heard that landing.
Oh, yeah. Right.
Or run out into the hallway where we were. And we would have seen that. And so then we all look at each other and we went, okay, if not a ghost, I don't have another word for what that is that I saw. And that's really profound to me. Because lots of times, you know, we can explain it. Lots of times, I'm the first, if something goes down, I want to figure it out. I want to explain it away. And if I can't, I live for that.
Yeah. It's like the Holy Grail, right?
You're just like, ooh, I got nothing. I can't figure this out.
Now, you had mentioned Mansfield. You said you had been to Mansfield?
Yeah, we filmed there for Ghost Adventures. I've been there a couple times.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's an incredible place.
It is.
There's haunted locations, and then there's Mansfield, right?
So part of that, and there's layers upon layers of legend there, right? Mm-hmm. Shawshank Redemption was filmed there. And that's worth mentioning because the building, let me go back a bit. So we are a celebrity-obsessed culture, right? Oh, my gosh. I mean, I can't believe so-and-so ate dinner here. I went to Tony Paco's in Toledo.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
All these hot dog buns all over the walls, autographed by everyone. As soon as you walked in, I saw Donald Trump, Mike Pence, Bill Clinton, George W. Bush, Hillary Clinton, Rudy Giuliani, Jamie Farr.
Yeah.
Like that was
Do you know who started that tradition?
Who?
Burt Reynolds.
I saw two Burt Reynolds signed hot dog buns.
He came in, he was dating some girl in Toledo back in the 60s or whenever it was. And he thought he'd be funny and sign his autograph on the bun, and that's how it started.
So the thing that should concern all of us that ate there is why are those buns not decomposed at all?
Well, they're not real.
They're not real. There's
two Burt Reynolds
real ones.
And somebody else.
Yeah,
still that's funny.
And they're shellacked.
Okay. Yeah, because I was just like, did they really? Anyway, so
it's so awesome.
So you walk in and you're like, wow, all these celebrities ate here. It must be good.
Yeah,
it's impossible for it to not be good. And you know, you go further back, and everybody's autographed the hot dog bun.
Yeah,
and so, so we're celebrity obsessed culture. Mansfield is a celebrity.
Yeah,
yeah.
The building,
yeah.
and it's been on every ghost show, all of them now. So the building is already a celebrity. You are geeking out being there. Number one, already just because of the building and its story that you've heard. Then you know the history. Like, this was a prison.
Mm-hmm.
And there's some bad people that were in here. And some horrible things happened. And when you start to learn, you know, in Ghost Adventures, we've filmed in just about every prison in the U.S. that's of note, you know. And I remember interviewing a warden from Moundsville in West Virginia. And that was called, like, the bloodiest 40 acres in America or whatever. And he was telling me a story about one of these inmates. It was in for, like, armed robbery, a couple of years. He had, like, 3 months to go. and walked out in the prison yard one day during rec time and just stabbed another guy with a shiv and killed him.
Yeah.
And the warden says, you, 3 months, you're out of here. You're gone. Why did you do this? Your freedom was just a few months away. Now you're going to be here for years and years and years. And his answer was, just needed to be done.
Oh.
And wow. One of the things that this warden explained to me that I've never forgotten is that what's very hard for us to understand who haven't been in a prison is that our lives have value, right? They really do.
Yeah.
And theirs don't. Like, you are worth a pack of cigarettes.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
You could be killed for a pack of cigarettes, and there are people in there that would think nothing of it. I'd rather have the cigarettes than you. Mm-hmm. And that's literally where you stand. And that's got to be a tough pill to swallow in prison. And that despair, that anguish, that rage, all that stuff, it leaks into the walls. Mm-hmm. You know, it leaks into every part of it. When you're in Mansfield, I think you feel that. And that's not being psychic. That's being a human being.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
With empathy.
Yes.
You feel the emotions of the people that were there before you. And you tune into it. You can't help it. And I think that tunes into whatever energy might still be lingering or whatever. And it's a powerful place, a powerful experience. And you got those cages and it's dark.
Yeah.
And, you know, you're walking around and you can just imagine, like, I know when we were there at night, you walk a few feet away from the cages and it's blacker than black.
Yeah.
Because no light gets in at all. And you just can't help but imagine something's in there ready to just
grab you.
Yeah.
Reach out and
the
grab you as you walk by.
Intense amount of negative energy that's in there. Yeah. You know, you have people trapped. Murderers,
yeah,
criminals, people, I don't say from the dark side, but from the dark side, you know, like
many of them, yeah,
housed in there,
yeah,
years. We met a guy who was in there who was here earlier.
Was he? There was someone here who was an inmate,
okay.
I forget his name, but he was here earlier, yeah.
He was telling us it was one of, he's like, he couldn't describe how dark and what,
yeah,
anger and rage and this whole thing was. Can you imagine all of those cells, how many cells there are, and two people or more per cell?
Yeah.
How loud it must have been at times.
I'm sure it was hell, right? And
yeah.
So the other part, so I believe some people are born bad. Not many, but there are some that were born bad and they are going to die bad and be bad all the way along the way. However, talking to one of the corrections officers at a different location, I can't even remember which one now, he said, you know, you get to know some of these inmates and you realize the difference between you and them is sometimes about 30 seconds.
Yeah.
In a span of 30 seconds, they made a decision or a choice, a bad one, a really poor choice, and now they're in here. Other than that, their lives were perfectly fine. They just, in a moment of blind rage or just poor decision-making, did something that landed them in jail. And you get to go home at night to your family, and they don't.
Yeah.
And 30 seconds, that's it.
And, you know, like you mentioned, Moundsville, a lot of them prisoners, you know, you could have, I don't know, if I want to say drunk driving or drunk in public, let's say.
Yeah.
You were drunk in public and you yelled at a cop. You didn't go to the city jail like we have here. That you went to Moundsville and you were put in there with people there, murderers and everything.
Yeah.
It's, like you said, 30 seconds completely changed their life. Completely.
Who think nothing of you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So it's and that's all part of the human experience. And when you have human empathy, when you go to Gettysburg and you feel the gravity of what that place means and like what happened where you're standing, when you go to, you know, penitentiaries and mental hospitals and you feel that human anguish, it's a good thing. It means you're human and you're connecting. And maybe this connection, this thing that we're getting together, you know, it's important, because if you're disconnected, if you're detached, you can do horrible things.
Yeah.
And so I think it's good that we're exploring these things, telling these stories, because there's something to still learn from them. I mean, I hope Gettysburg is haunted forever. Like, let that haunt us. Let that haunt the whole country, because like, we're so divided right now as a nation. It's been worse.
Oh, yeah.
You know, go to Gettysburg and tell me it's worse now.
Yeah.
Right?
How's your day going?
Yeah.
Well, you didn't have to march from Kentucky.
You a 17-year-old boy.
Sorry, Facebook
crying,
pissed you off today.
Yeah.
But yeah,
crying for your mother because your leg got blown off. You know what I mean? Like, really,
worse,
put it in perspective. And I think that's what's important about what you do and the stories that you bring you tell people the experience. They can experience something that in their normal life they would never experience, and be thankful that, wow, this happened to somebody else, and maybe I can make a difference in my life and change something for the better.
I've for whatever reason, I've got a number of friends who are ministers and preachers. Funniest thing, I can't explain why. It just worked. Two guys I went to high school with, still buddies with, and other friends. And we've talked about, like, the idea of a sermon, right? And these guys work. That's their job.
Yeah.
All week long is to think about this Sunday's sermon. And I said, you know, since I started doing my weekly podcast, I'm like, I'm writing a sermon every week too.
Except, preach, brother, preach.
But I'm not trying to like save your soul. I'm just trying to tell you a story, and you have to find the meaning. Mm-hmm. It's up to you.
But it,
like,
still touches people's soul, though. Right?
I would like to think so. But so at the end of the day, I realized the importance of stories and the connections that it makes, because we live in a time where we are so much in our silos because of technology, right? We're lost in our phones.
You can be in a
crowd and just be like, you know, lost in your little phone, just checking email or whatever.
It's no interaction with anybody else.
But
a story,
when you tell it to another person and they hear it, you get to keep it. That's the coolest thing, right? Like this, you get to keep, I'm giving you something. You can tell it too. You can go home and, you know, you can share it.
That's
incredible. And that's And that's what happens. I'd like to think that's what happens to a degree on Ghost Adventures every week. You can watch the show and be like, they went to this place. This is what happened here. They found weird stuff. Wow, I wonder why weird stuff would happen at a place like this. Well, maybe because this is what took place. And this is who was there and the mark that was left.
And we can't lose history. I mean, you know, as people are so self-absorbed and generations passed, it's going to be gone.
Yeah.
We have to document these stories. Of these places, because the building could crumble, but we have to know where we came from.
Yeah.
And doing what you guys do and documenting and telling the story, it'll be here forever. Right?
Until
we croak. And then we come back and haunt everybody.
So the only way a legend or a story goes away is if you stop telling it.
Exactly.
And so, I mean, and that will happen. People will stop. One of the things that's interesting to me is that there's a life cycle to ghosts, right? We talk about ghosts from typically within the last 150 to 200 years. We don't go further back than that.
Yeah.
And I think the reason is we're too disconnected from them. Like Civil War, plenty, right? Yeah. Plenty of ghosts because that's only a few generations ago. And, you know, the sites are still around. We haven't turned them all into strip malls, you know, and stuff like that. And so we're still connected to that. But we don't really talk about ghosts of Roman soldiers. Mm-hmm. We don't talk about ghosts of cavemen or whatever.
I told Joe that. I said, where's the caveman ghost?
Because we can't connect to them. They're too far back.
Yeah.
They're too far removed. They're not our grandfather's grandfather. They're like so far back that it's just inconceivable. And so we've lost them. We've let them go.
But are they still here?
Nope. No, we haven't summoned them, right? The Mexican proverb, which I've been telling for years, right, is that we all die three deaths. The first is when your body expires. The second is when your corpse is laid in the ground. And the third and final death is when your name is uttered for the last time.
Yeah, I've said that many times.
We're still uttering the names of those that fell in Gettysburg and in the Civil War. We're still, we're not uttering that. We don't know the Roman soldiers' names.
Yeah, we don't know Ugg's name.
Yeah, we don't know their names. Right. So we've let them go. We can't connect to them. We don't know them anymore. They're gone to us.
Yeah.
And so could they come back? Yeah, I guess if for some reason, like, you know, demonologists, right, will talk about, like, don't say the name of the thing, especially three times. That's how you summon it.
Yeah.
Like, that's how you summon grandma too, right?
Yeah.
Just like, I miss you, grandma. Are you okay? You still with me, grandma? Mm-hmm. Are you proud of me? You know?
Yeah.
I mean, that notion. And sometimes it's okay to summon. Right, it's okay to summon our loved ones, our ancestors, our historical figures that we still need around. I wrote a whole book about the ghost of the White House, and Lincoln is the name that comes up again and again, Abe Lincoln haunting the White House. And I was thinking, like, every president that's been there, it's a tough job, no question.
Right. Yeah.
It can't be easy. You live in a fishbowl, you know. And no matter how hard it gets, I think Lincoln is this benchmark. He had it worse. I don't care what you're going through, right?
Yeah.
Witch hunts, Mueller reports, right? Like, ain't nothing.
Yeah.
Ain't nothing compared to your son dying in the White House of typhoid, right? Your nation split apart and at war with itself. Thousands upon thousands of Americans dying daily, right? And then, of course, paying the ultimate price, assassinated for the office. So any president that understands or cares at all about history, I would hope, is still summoning the spirit of Lincoln to say, like, all right, remind me again how bad this could be, and give me some strength to, like, get through whatever this thing is I'm going through. And so that's why I think it's so important to appreciate and honor and understand our history, because if you ignore it or think it's not important, it's just going to keep repeating. I mean, this, where we are right now in our history, it's amazing. We've been here before. Ask the Whig Party how they're doing.
Yeah.
Right?
So exactly.
When the Whigs split to the Republican, like, we've been at this crossroads before where there's, like, where you've got a political party with a moral decision to make. Like, which direction do we go? Mm-hmm. Like, the old ways or the new ways or whatever, right? Like, parties have split. It's just no one's alive that remembers it. So we think this is all uncharted waters. It's not. Yeah. It's been charted before. You just got to go back and look.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. History repeats itself, right?
It has a funny way of doing that.
Yeah.
And then you go, I wonder how many more times we're going to have to go through this before someone goes, dude, we've tried it.
Yeah. It's almost like past lives.
Yeah.
Regeneration.
Yeah. Of course it is. Reincarnation is totally true. I mean, you know how many times William Shakespeare's reincarnated? Like a billion.
Yeah.
Right? How many Hollywood movies have ripped that dude off?
Right.
How many times, like, has a local theater kept him alive?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
His name is still being uttered.
Exactly.
He is still with us. Mozart, Bach, Beethoven, they are still with us. They are influencing people who are influencing us. And, you know, when I play guitar, and when you first play music, when you play an instrument, the first thing you want to do is learn to play like whoever you admire, right? Like,
smoke on the water.
Whatever. Doesn't matter, right? Whatever's your favorite song, you're like, you want to pick up the guitar because you want to play like whoever. And so you get a few, and you're like, wow, listen to me. It sounds sort of like the guy.
Who was yours?
Steve Miller.
All right.
Yeah, I loved Steve Miller.
And I loved
the Grateful Dead and like just all that old classic rock stuff.
Okay.
And so I just wanted to play like the Eagles and I did. And suddenly you're like, hey, that's the same chord. And I'm just emulating them. It's not my voice. It's not my art. I'm just trying to duplicate. And then you realize, well, they were copying someone too. And then eventually you find your own voice. Mm-hmm. You know, you copy the people you admire, and then you put your own self into it, and it becomes uniquely yours. And so if you follow my guitar playing back far enough through Steve Miller, through Chicago blues, through jazz, you will eventually get to Bach and Beethoven.
Exactly.
And you'll get even, right, you'll just keep going. Because, like, everybody's standing on the shoulders of giants. And those are stories or legends that are getting passed on through this art form called music that's a literal tapestry moving through us. And I think history and legends and lore is the same thing. These ghosts haunt us because they're coming from the past to the present in some very tangible way. And because they've got a message for us, and damn it, we should try listening.
Yeah, you know? We probably should.
Yeah.
Our lives would be so much better.
We keep asking them to speak through our equipment.
Yeah.
When they do, we're like, oh, wow, they talk to us. And that's it. We're like, no, answer them.
Yeah.
You know, keep the conversation going.
Or, you know, just...
You might be the first person to talk to that person for 100 years.
Yeah.
They might have something to say, some wisdom from prior.
Someone say, help me, and you're like so excited because you got to help me, but yet you didn't say, well, how can I help you?
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
It's important.
I think sometimes, like, all I can do, right? Because if someone says, help me, and I can't see you...
Mm-hmm.
All I can do is tell your story. That's the best I can give you. Because, you know, if some supreme godlike being can't move you onto the light, I don't know what chance I have.
Yeah.
Exactly.
But at the same time, like, I can tell the story and remember and honor who was there.
And some people just want to be remembered.
Yeah.
Really? That's all they want.
Yeah.
Like, not to be forgotten.
Yeah.
All the soldiers in Gettysburg or people throughout history have passed on.
Yep. No, I think that's an important part of it. And, because all of us are a product of all that, right? We're a product of people who raised us, of course, a huge influence on us, but also people who we interact with day to day, from the person that maybe made you coffee at the coffee shop this morning to whoever, your friends, your neighbors, and all of them are a product of their environment, where they live, the history that came before them. Like, all that stuff goes into making you who you are this moment, because you are the sum total, this second, of everything that came before.
No matter what.
Right. Yeah. I mean, if you grew up in a different town, you would be a slightly different person. Probably not radically different, but slightly different, right?
I mean, it could come down to you could be a completely different person if you didn't take a left-hand turn,
of course,
30 years ago and a right-hand turn.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
We don't realize how connected we are.
Right.
One of the things that I talk about, okay, so let's take this pen right here.
Yes.
That is a fancy
pen.
No,
let's not just talk about the pen. Let's talk about the ballpoint and the ball in that point.
Yeah.
To get that right here, right now, think about the thousands of people it took to get that ball
right
on the table right here.
Yeah, the analogy I've used, and I'll use it today actually, is like the shirt on your back.
Yeah.
At least like a million people,
mm-hmm,
between the person that sold it to you, put it on the store, drove the truck that got it to the store, yeah, built the truck, designed
exactly
the truck, like put the gas in the truck, pumped the oil out of the ground that made the gas,
uh-huh,
like designed the shirt, grew the cotton, made the dye, built the machine that stitched it together. Like it's spiderwebs into,
yeah,
probably like a million plus people from around the world that just got your shirt on your back today.
Exactly.
And that's, to me, that sums up folklore and legend right there. Like, mm-hmm, that's exactly what it is it's a tapestry of connections. And if you want to try to live outside of that, you're going to be a lonely person, a sad person. You're not going to be fully human. And I'm afraid if you choose to live outside of that, you will truly do monstrously awful things.
Because, mm-hmm,
if you don't feel connected, there's no limit.
And you're going to end up in one of those prisons we were talking about.
Right. And then we'll tell your story and the circle goes around.
Yeah,
again.
It does.
Circle of, yeah, life.
Yes.
Well, Jeff, we really appreciate,
yeah,
that you,
thanks,
were able to come and share your story with us. And keep doing what you do, brother, because,
okay,
it's important.
Thank you.
And we'll see you at one of the conventions.
We'll see you at
around
Michigan Paracon,
sounds
hopefully
good. Maybe I'll big time you at that one. I'll just,
yes,
be like,
yeah,
no, I don't talk to you.
So what's next? What's on the horizon for,
yeah,
you?
Yeah, what's new?
I climbed Mount Kilimanjaro 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Nice.
And I wrote a memoir about it, and I'm shopping that around right now, which I'm very,
wow,
excited about because it was just a life-changing, profound experience. I'm doing a lot of research for my program tour this fall. Every year is a different theme. So 2 years ago was hope after Kilimanjaro, and,
mm-hmm,
last year was fear. I jumped out of an airplane to face, wow, a fear I've had my whole life. And then this year's theme is going to be death. And so I'm working on something now to get closer to the subject.
Okay.
And I'll be talking about that in Michigan in August.
Yes, we'll be there.
That'll be my fall
program. I'll ask you where the coffee's at.
Yes. I don't drink coffee, but I'll try to help you if I can.
Well, you know, everybody, let everybody know where if they want to get a copy of your book. Or,
oh, yeah,
listen,
so,
to your
all
podcast.
Your books.
All,
yeah,
well, 37,000 of his books.
So jeffbelanger.com. It's BELANGER. Jeff with a J is everything that I do. So,
mm-hmm,
all my other websites, my books, my podcast, which is New England Legends. You can get that anywhere you get a podcast, iTunes, Google, whatever. You know, they're all free. And I love these stories.
Yeah.
And I love telling them and sharing them. And I like hearing from people that are also into that. And that's why it's fun to be at things like this here in Toledo.
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you for stopping by. Good luck with everything, and we'll see you in Michigan.
Did you remember to record this?
I hit the button. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, see,
oh my gosh. One time we did a whole
two.
We did a whole interview.
Yeah.
Well, like I said, he was just fun.
He's nuts.
It's
I love it.
And we're going to see him up in Sault Ste. Marie at the Michigan Paranormal Convention.
Yeah, it's Michigan Paracon. 10. 10
years.
Amazing.
Be our third year.
Yes. I can't wait.
Yeah.
I love it up there. It's so peaceful and very cool. There's a lot of haunted places. There are a lot of squatching up there.
Yeah.
So
squatch out.
Squatch out with your Speedo on. I don't care. You know, like
your jean Speedo. What'd you call
Gito.
It? Gito.
Sasquatch and a Gito.
And no, I do not want to know, Jeff, if you wear a Gito.
It's none of our business. We don't judge. No, but awesome, brother. Thank you so much for being on the show. You know, that means it's an incredible experience to have somebody that talented to be able to come on your show and share all of their funness, right?
Yeah.
Like, he's doing fun things.
Yeah.
Like, that's incredible. Be living the life.
And, I mean, just looking at the books that he's written, you know, the different titles alone are great.
Yeah, Chasing Spirits, The Building of New Ghost Adventures Crew by Nick Roth with Jeff Bellinger. Why do I keep saying his name wrong?
Bellinger.
2014 Haunted New England Wall Calendar was available in 2014. What's it like to climb Mount Everest, blast off into space, survivor tornado, and other extraordinary stories? Now, I have to read that
one. You got to read that one.
I got to have it.
I mean, he wrote Weird Massachusetts.
Yeah.
And if you remember, we did a story last week about Massachusetts.
We did.
I can't say that word either.
I can't either. We just Sorry, everybody that lives there. Yeah, really. Our apologies.
But yeah, he's got like over 15 books.
Yeah, it's incredible. So like, you know, and go to his website. He's got an incredible website as well. And
Would that be jeffbelander.com?
It would. Oh. It would. So go there, buy some books. You know, next time you see him at a convention, go up to him and say, I heard you on 222 Paranormal Podcast.
Yes. Yes.
But anyways, anything else, Joe? Want to tell our lovely listeners
about our Toledo, Ohio Bigfoot and Paranormal Conference, October 12th. We still have a few tables open for if you're a Bigfoot vendor, I guess you want to say. If you're a Bigfooter
and Squatchers.
You want to get a vendor table, get a hold of us. We don't have a PDF up, but we can send you the form.
So, yeah, definitely get a hold of us. We are just amazed at the response that we're getting so far. It's been incredible. Thanks for everybody for sharing our page and the event. I feel like we have to put the countdown clock on, even though it's like 4 months away.
I know. But I'm worried that the hall is going to be too small, but, you know, first come, first serve. You know, we'll
do what we can, and then next year we'll make it even bigger.
Next year I want to have it downtown at the Seagate Center where it holds 3,000 people.
Yeah.
It'll be.
That's our goal. Like, we're visualizing it. Like, that's the thing. If you want something, you know, put it on your vision board. You can't just, like, think about it. You got to do it.
Yes. And like I said last week, we still cannot announce the big speaker because the contracts are not signed yet. But we have Shatan Noir. We have the fabulous Steve Ward.
Steve Ward. Real applause for Steve Ward every time. Every time.
And Don Allison.
And Don Allison.
I met
a ghost at Gettysburg.
He's our paranormal speaker.
Yeah, incredible. And Joe will probably get up on the mic and do some raps because he's a rap star.
Oh.
Remember?
Yeah.
Are you a rapper?
Are you a rapper?
No,
you got
kid.
Microphones.
Yeah. But yeah, so you never know. We might get on the mic. Say a few words to the crowd.
Yeah. I can announce the people. I don't know. Announce the people. That
Please
sounded
don't
really
wear
good.
Your Jito while you're announcing.
My I may be. Stand by.
People have paid not to go to the conference. But you know what? We're trying to keep the cost low. So it's only $10 to get in for adults, and kids under 12 are free. So you can bring the family and squatch around. So, family-friendly event. You know, there will be some, probably some readers there if you want to come and get a psychic reading or talk to a medium. You know, that is an additional cost. That's per table, you know. Like
for them. Yeah,
for them. It doesn't have anything to do with us. But, you know, just invite your friends, your family, bring your grandpa who probably saw Sasquatch in 1972.
That's somewhere. What we want stories.
Yes, definitely. And
we will definitely be recording interviews that day too.
And we're gonna have a big raffle. We're gonna raffle of a huge basket full of paranormal and squatchy type things.
All right.
Everybody who comes in the door is gonna get one free raffle ticket, and then you can buy extra and it'll be exciting.
Yeah.
And must be present to win.
And it's cheap.
And
it
maybe,
is cheap to get in.
Yeah.
But anyhow.
Don't be cheap, Joe.
Thank you for listening this week.
Gito.
I hope you really enjoyed the interview. We loved it.
Yes. Thank you so much.
Jeff was a blast.
Jeff, you are an incredible human being.
And after we stopped recording, we should have just left the recorder going.
I know.
Because we
got even better stories after. But that's okay because he's always welcome back on the show. And we'll catch up with him at Michigan Paracon.
Yeah.
And get him on the show again.
That's right. So, another big announcement that we have. We all know that Dead in 5 has a new CD out. I mentioned it last week. Finally, after a year of recording and mixing and stuff.
And we have new music for our intros and outros, and we love it. It's great.
Dead in 5 Automatic Death Machine is available. Go to deadin5.com.
Get your copy.
Or come out to a show.
Come see us.
And with that, let's leave with some Decepticon from Dead and Fry's new CD, Automatic Death Machine.
All right, everybody.
Thanks, everybody, for tuning in. We will talk to you next week.
Have a great week. We'll talk to you. Mm-hmm. next week, Joey.
Goodbye.
Bye.